Good morning, church. Good to be back with everybody this morning. I'd be remiss if I didn't say this morning. Of course, it's already been mentioned here about the storms that happened this past week. But, you know, the thing that I love about it is, and this is just not my church, but it's everywhere. But you put something out there, people need help, and chainsaws go, and people go. I don't have to name your names. You know who you are. And I just thank the good Lord for you, all of you, that went and helped other people this week and helped them get into their driveways, get stuff around their houses and stuff like that. You know, that stuff right there just does not get said enough. And I believe in giving flowers where flowers are due. Amen. Just give a hand to the people in here who did that. One more thing on that, the Lord showed me this scripture, and you know this scripture very well. But it says this here, it says in 1 John 3:17, "For whosoever hath the world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, now how dwelleth the love of God in him?" That says it pretty plain, does it not? It says it pretty plain. It is Revival Week. I hope and pray that you have been praying about it. I hope that you have. I thought about my sermon this morning, and what I wanted to talk about was I kind of titled it two different ways: paying the price for revival and the keys to revival. So it may be kind of intermingled in that both ways. As I thought about this down through the week, and as the Lord had given me something to preach about this morning. Now, you all know that revival just doesn't come. You just don't carry revival in your pocket to church. It just doesn't come. The preacher's coming, just don't. You know what? It's a group effort. Can I say that? It's an effort to where people are praying. People are wanting to have revival in their lives. So the Lord gave me some scripture, and it's over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. If you want to turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, just one verse. I'm going to go down through the chapter a little bit, but this is the scripture he's given me this morning. You bear with me this morning as we go down through this. Once you find it, if you're able, please stand this morning. Let's read God's word in honor of his word this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. "Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Say that with me. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Brothers and sisters, that's revival. That's revival. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, we come asking you that, Father, that, Lord, that you just bless us this morning, Lord. We pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just take a hold, and Father, that you would open up the hearts and minds here this morning, I pray. Lord, I pray for the anointing upon my lips this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that as the word goes out, Lord, it's exactly the way that you'd have it to go out. And Father, we want to give you the glory and the honor for it all. Lord, we ask you now this morning, Father, that as we get ready to start this revival down through this week, Lord, I pray, Father, that everything that would be done would be of the anointing upon it, Lord. I pray, Father, that your spirit would be upon this church, be upon the individuals that are here attending this week, Lord, and we'll praise you for that. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. The heart of God, I want you to understand this in here. The heart of God is for you and I to experience revival in our lives. Amen? That's the heart of God that's intended for each and everybody. You could call it an awakening. We call it a renewal. You could call it a revival, which I think are separate things, but that's just my opinion here this morning. But brother, it's in the heart of God, at the heart of it. That's what he wants everybody here to experience. But understand, even though they're similar, listen, revival historically is this. It is a time when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes upon a church, upon an individual, and upon a church. That's what revival typically, when revivals break out, that's what they break out in. And the Holy Spirit's presence and his work becomes so pronounced in an individual's life and in their heart and in the church's life, the brother said, we can't help but be revived. We can't help but be revived. It's a very prominent way. Within the heart of every believer who is truly seeking revival, there is a manifestation that will take effect if you are truly seeking to be revived in your heart. Now, I want to tell you something that this morning, and I don't want to offend nobody. This is not what it's about here. I hope and pray that when you come to church this week, it's just not to come to a service. I hope and pray you come seeking and wanting God to move in your life. I pray that you pray that the manifestation of the Spirit is so strong upon you that you can't help but feel revival within your heart. Because, brothers and sisters, we can come and we can have all kinds of services this week. You could say and check a box and say that you come to revival services this week. You could do that. But I hope and pray that it means more to you than just that. I hope and pray that it means more to you than just that. A true revival breaks out can set the church and the community on fire for God. We've seen it happen in different areas across this land. There's been great revivals break out, even recently in different parts. I believe the last one that I remember hearing about was down in Kentucky. There was a great revival that broke out down there. But brothers and sisters, you got to come not just to check a box. You got to come wanting God to revive you. That's what you got to want. Revival is when the glory of God fills the house of God. This is revival. If you have the Spirit of God come down and fill the house of God, you are going to have a mighty revival. You're going to have it. Does that mean that Drift Run? That means Drift Run? Listen to me. Whenever I'm saying he comes down and he fills the house of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells you what the house of God is. It says this: Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You are the temple. You are the church. You are the ones that I hope and pray that you are seeking revival. Because whenever revival breaks out in your house, it's going to break out in His church. It'll break out there. It's when the manifestation of the presence of God comes into the house. It comes in and it overflows you. You're wanting to change. You're wanting to grow closer. You're wanting a change in your life. Whether it's you or all of us together. And God shows up. And His power shows up. And His glory shows up. The Shekinah glory shows up. I'm telling you, the power of God can shake an individual, and it can shake a church, and it can revive a church, and it can revive a community. That's what it can do. Manifest is clear. Whenever you see revival, true revival break out in a church, it'll be clear. Am I right? It will be clear. There'll be no doubt in anybody's mind when true revival breaks out. You want a picture of true revival? Go over to 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 38, and it says this: Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, what did they do? They fell on their face and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. That's whenever you know there's a change. That's whenever you know that you've been, that the presence of God has come down upon you and revival has truly broken out. Whenever there is a change that starts to take place and you see people start to the movement in the church. It's often been said, I remember the old preachers used to say this, it's like a wind that blows across the church and goes back and forth across it. Why is that? Because that's the Spirit of God moving amongst the people. That's the Spirit of God moving amongst His people. That's what that is. That's the power of the Spirit. And in the book of Acts, it said, While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, I'll tell you what, I praise him this morning. That brother said that whenever the day of Pentecost had fully come, brothers, that we can experience revival in our hearts. Amen. We can experience revival. Right tonight. Start revival tonight. Right tonight. We know we have guest speakers starting tomorrow night. But brothers and sisters, it should start right today in our lives. Revival. You should want it. That should be your only goal this week. Is to see God move within you and move with you within this church. That's what's needed. I got up this morning and I've been so burdened. I've been burdened for this church. I've been burdened for my family. I've been burdened. It's been such a burden on me this morning. You can ask my wife. She asked me, I bet she's asked me 5 times, what's the matter? There's a burden upon me. And I'm telling you, brother and sister, listen. That burden that's upon me, I hope and pray that you have that burden for yourself and for your family this week. I hope and pray that, because that's the thing that will bring revival. We read in 2 Chronicles there again. It says, and now that Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. The Shekinah glory filled the house. We need the fire to fall down upon this church starting today. And we need it to fall down upon every individual in here. And we need to understand that that's what will bring revival to your heart. It isn't all these other little side things that people like to put into it. Brother, it's simple in one way, and it's, and to some people they make it complex. It's nothing more than praying that God's presence and his glory will fill you and fill this church. Amen. That's all that's needed. That's all that's needed. And brother said, God will send revival. We need the fire to fall on our families. Can I have an amen? We need the fire to fall on the churches that will be here in attendance this week. We need the fire to fall on every one of them. Amen. We need the fire to fall. We don't need little sermonettes. That's not what, we don't need any of that stuff. Brother and sister, I want and I pray that whenever these men of God are preaching this week, that they're preaching the Word of God. They are preaching it hard. They are preaching it under the anointing of the Spirit. I pray that that happens. And I pray that as that happens, brother, you know what your job will be? Your job will be to pray. Your job will be to have your minds open. Your job will be to have your spirit open. Because God may be wanting to talk to you this week about something. Absolutely. More than we need fancy buildings, we need more than we need glitz and glamour. We need the Holy Spirit to fall down upon this church. We need the Holy Spirit to fall down upon me, down upon you, and to light us up. Light us up with the Spirit of God. We need the fire to fall. We need the fire to fall on our nation. Amen? Amen. We need it. When revival comes upon a nation, the culture of that nation will change. It won't come from regulations. It'll come from reformation. Amen? You can regulate all you want, but there has to be a change. There has to be a reformation from the hearts of the people. It's got to start at the White House. And it's got to come all the way down to the people that are living in the streets. And brothers and sisters, that's when the change will happen. That's when revival will happen in a nation and in a church. It's whenever we get ourselves out of the way and we say, God, I am broken. I am yours. God, you use me for whatever you want to use me for. Politics won't change this nation. A good economy won't change this nation. Brother and sister, we need a heart change. We need revival. We need revival in this nation. Revival is the only hope for this nation. We need services that do as Jesus told us to do. Can I have an amen? He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw what? All men to me. That's what we need. If that happens, people's lives will be changed. I guarantee it. If we welcome the presence of God into this building, I'm telling you, it will fill this building. It will fill your hearts. It will fill my heart. And brothers and sisters, there will be a great, mighty revival and a change. A change. And the presence of God within our hearts can, will ignite revival. That's what it does. It can do that. And that's the only thing that will make America great again. That's it. It's whenever we truly, truly have revival in this nation. Let me give you some keys to revival. I wrote down some things here. Now, and I'm going to read that verse of Scripture again because I want you to... Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The first key to revival to me is Solomon prayed. Amen? We need to pray. There's just no doubt about it. Now, when Solomon made an end of praying, it says what? The fire came down. The fire came down right then. Habakkuk, it says this, prayed, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Revive thy work. Praying for revival. That right there is what we should have been already doing. But can I tell you, it's not too late right now for us to continue to pray for revival this week, that God will fill this house with His Spirit this week. Amen. What's the Spirit do? We know that. His Spirit will convict people. Amen? If there's any lost in here, pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything going on in your life, the Spirit will show you what's going on, what needs to be done. It'll show us that. And that's why I pray that the Holy Spirit will be in this church so heavy this week. Amen. That it will show and that it will guide and that it will convict and do what's needed to do. And you must, listen, pray that they will preach the uncompromised word of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. And pray that, like I said, pray that they will do it with the Spirit of God upon them this week. We must have full revelation of God's word. Can I have an amen? Amen? Every one of us in here need the full revelation of God's word. And maybe one of those men this week will preach something that will touch your life, that will stir you up to the point that, you know what? You can't help but want to come up to this altar and say, Lord, show me what else needs to be done. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen. I don't say this jokingly, but you know, if you miss one night of revival, that may have been the night God was wanting to talk to you, and the devil just wanted you to miss. Amen? Amen. And that may be the night that the preacher preaches something that you need to hear. And you must be receptive. Amen? If the word's preached, you must be receptive. Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth seed into good ground, and he is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Brothers and sisters, prepare your heart to hear the word of God this week. Amen. Prepare it. Pray that your heart is changed, not just everyone else sitting around you is changed. Can I give you a little bit of advice? Don't look at the person beside of you and say, well, they need revival. Look at yourself and say, I need revival. I need revival. How about you? How about you? I need revival. That's what I need. I hope and pray that's what you need. Pray, you know, what's needed to change in your life? What's needed to change in your life? That's what you need to pray. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. What did I say the house was? Just point to yourself. Judgment must begin at the house of God. I'm not going to worry about what Greg's. I'm not worrying about Greg. I'm not worried about anybody else now. I've got to worry about Dave Long. Amen. Judgment begins at the house of God. And it begins with us, brothers. It begins with us. Then whenever it begins with us, then the house of God can change. Amen? If it first begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? Let God work on you and change you. Pray for the lost in your families. I know you do that. And I sometimes think I'm preaching to the choir when I tell people this, but pray for the lost that's in your family. Pray for them because the days are growing shorter. You know, they have no idea when God may take them out individually, or we have no idea when he may just say, son, go back and get your church. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus come back during revival? Wouldn't it? But listen, pray for the lost in your families, for all the lost we come in contact with every day. Pray for the church. Pray for the nation. Pray for the leaders of this nation. Romans 10:1, brother, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, you know what? You could put every other nation in there. My brother, my heart's desire and prayer for God is the United States, that they might be saved, or whatever nation it may be. But brother said, we need to pray that God would work. And I'm going to leave you with this. Do you know what God's phone number is? It's Jeremiah 33:3. I'm not going to read it. You look it up. That's God's phone number. Key number two. There was sacrifice made. Amen? It said the fire come down and burn up the sacrifice, right? There was sacrifices made. I know that they're talking about bulls and stuff like that, but brother said, you want to have revival? There's got to be sacrifice made on our part. There has to be sacrifice. The fire fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice. To have revival, to have the Shekinah glory fill the church, we have to make sacrifices. Can I tell you something? This week's a good week to get out of your comfort zone. Amen? It's a good week to get out of your comfort zone. Well, Dave, I really don't like to witness to people. Can I tell you something? Jesus went to that cross and died for you. And praise his name. When he died for you, he took upon him the sins of this whole world. And brother, he suffered and bled and died. We cannot say a word for what he's done for us. And invite people to revival and tell them that, Jesus cared for you as much as he cared for me. And he loves you. And he wants to see you revived. And he wants to see you a part of the children of God. Listen, put your total concentration this week on revival. Can you do that this week? Total concentration on the revival this week. Sacrifice is what I'm saying. Sacrifice is what I'm saying. Listen, I don't know. Some people say, well, I may come this night. I may come that night. I may come this night. Can I tell you something? Make a sacrifice and try to be here every night of it. Amen. Try to be here every night of revival. Try to come out here and let God see what God works in your life. I'm going to put a challenge out there to you. I'm going to lay this out there to you. You come here and you expect God to work in your life and you pray that God works and you pray that God sends the glory upon your life. I'm telling you, if you're serious about it, God will send his glory into your life. He'll do that if you come praying and you're here. I'm just telling you, that's what God has showed me. Make it out to the Lord. Maybe if the Lord leads you to fast sometime this week. I'm not supposed to tell you if I am, and you're not supposed to tell me if you are. That's not what it's about. And you're not supposed to come in here looking sad because you're fast. That's not what that's about either. But if God puts it upon your heart to fast for this revival this week, I'm telling you, I'm praying that you would do that. Take him up on that. That's how important revival is. That's how important revival is. Make a sacrifice. David, listen to me. When a sacrifice was offered to God, the fire fell. Listen, David offered sacrifice. What happened? The fire fell. Elijah offered sacrifice. What happened? The fire fell. Solomon offered sacrifice. What happened? The fire fell. Can I tell you something? You offer sacrifice, the fire is going to fall. Amen. Amen? Heartfelt sacrifice, the fire is going to fall. I believe God is true to his word. I believe God is true to his word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Key number three, they came with one focus and they came with one mind. That's what they did. Listen, in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7, 8, and 9, This is what it says. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a great congregation from the entering of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. That's what they did. They were there with one accord, one purpose, and one mind. Can I tell you this, Cecilia? You want revival? You want the presence of God to fall? Let's come here in one mind and one accord, expecting God to do a work in this church this week. Amen? Amen? Let's come here in one accord and one mind. Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something this morning? Don't be afraid of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of it. I'm not talking, saying that you have to speak in tongues. I'm not saying that. But don't be afraid of the filling of the Holy Ghost in your life. That filling happens more than just once. You know that, don't you? It can happen more than just once. Praise His name. I hope you understand that. Amen. It can feel, you pray and God can fill you time after time after time. Amen. It fell upon it, and the fire fell, and praise His name. And they didn't come to church that day with everyone seeking their own way. Don't come to church this week seeking your own way. Seek God's way. Seek His way this week. They come in one accord. And if you and I want revival, we must come together each night with one accord and one mind. And that is to see the lost saved. That is to see us changed. And that is to see this church set on fire. Amen? That's what we need to come. That they were stirred. We want change. We want revived. Philippians 2:2-4. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not at every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. But I like the first part. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. That's how things get done. That's how revivals get started. That's how the glory of God fills us and it fills other people. The last part, the last one I want to talk about, the last key, and this is important, and that's praise and worship. Amen? That's praise and worship. 2 Chronicles 7:3. And when all the children of Israel saw how that the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Brothers and sisters, when God starts moving, praise and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do that, and we will not fail. Do it in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to know about what happened at Walmart because I got a pound of meat for... I hope you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a testimony is a testimony of what God has done for you, what God has blessed you with. I hope you understand that. I better shut up. Anyway, God wants us to come with praise and with worship. Amen? Praise and worship Him. And make no mistake, listen, when you're going into battle, Ken, I know I preached on this a while back, but when you're going into battle, you send out the praise team. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be in a battle this week if you're planning on being revival. I want you to understand something. Dude, you're going to be in a battle. He doesn't always want you drawing any closer to Him. He doesn't want you to grow stronger. I personally believe God never intended for revival to end. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now understand, the nightly services will end, but the revival in your heart doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end. No, it doesn't. But true revival within a believer's heart was never intended to end. Never. God wants revival to keep on burning within the heart of each and every one of us as long as we have a heartbeat on this earth. He wants us to continue to be revived week after week, day after day, in the glory of God upon our lives. Psalms 39:3 says this, "My heart was hot within me." What's that mean? Have you ever had the Spirit upon you so much that you felt like your heart was going to come out of your chest? Can I have an amen? Have you ever had that? That's the Spirit of God moving you. My heart was hot within me. Amen. And I hope and pray that the Lord has given you that. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. You know what that means is? He couldn't help but talk about God's glory. Amen. I also believe that this is my belief, not, and I'm going to end with this. Maybe not every pastor, but this is the end with this. You can come up and get a song, Blend, if you guys want to. Get ready. I don't pick one certain week every year to have revival. I don't do that. I don't put preachers down to do it, but I don't do that. I want God to show me. I want Him to show me when I should do revival. I hope you don't get mad at me. I hope you don't. I pray you don't. But I don't care what anybody else in here thinks about it. Whenever God shows me it's time for revival. Amen? And, you know, because we're too much into repetitive stuff. We're too much into repetitive stuff. And whenever we do that, sometimes we don't allow God to move and show us what He wants. Listen, revival should not be scheduled the same week every time every year. You know, we've always had a fall revival. We've always had a spring revival. You know what matters? There's going to be the same every week because, listen, in Matthew 6:7 it says this. God showed me this. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard with their much speaking. I don't do vain repetitions when it comes to revival. I hope you understand that. I want God to show me. He's put a burden upon me for this revival. And I hope and pray that burden is upon you as well. I hope it is. And I hope and pray that it's upon everybody in this church. I'm going to ask you something this morning. They're going to play a song here in a minute. Let's gather up here with me this morning. And let's pray that God sends the glory down upon this church this week. Let's do that. Would you do that with me this week? Let's come up here as they play. Let's pray.